Hello, Bonsai friends. This is Evan Pardue of Underhill Bonsai. Welcome to episode 91 of Little Things for Bonsai People. It is the year 2024. We are heading into a slight fall season, question mark. I mean, it was cool like a couple of days ago. We woke up and I put on a sweater and was like, maybe it's time, because it was like Louisiana, 70 degrees, and it feels wonderful. But no, it's not. Anyway, I am joined by my co-host, Carmen Leskovianski. How's it going, Carmen?
Pretty good. We have some lovely fall-ish weather here.
As well.
Now that you mention it. Yeah.
Any seasonal change or anything noticeable?
You know, it's so funny. I was out of town over the weekend and Portland had like its biggest, best thunderstorm in years. And of course, I missed it. Like, thunderstorms aren't a thing that happen here. So I was very disappointed. Oh. But I did hear a lot of thunder and lightning. Probably more. I didn't hear the lightning, but I saw it. Anyway, I heard more thunder in one day in Michigan than I heard in 3 years here in Portland. So
that's very interesting, because like when I think about thunderstorms in Louisiana, it's like we're known for just like rumbling thunderstorms throughout the year, all year. And then Mike even told me down in South Florida where he's at, like heat lightning is like a huge issue.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, you could be walking around and then someone could be just like zapped and blown apart.
Oh, my God.
Not that bad, but it was just a joke.
Sure. Well, like, it is Florida.
So. Yeah. Yeah. The I don't know. Maybe magnets work differently in Mike's part of town or something. I don't know. But
he's closer to the Bermuda Triangle. So
yeah. Oh,
everything's
really
kind of wonky.
He's really close to the Bermuda Triangle for sure.
Yeah.
So just so you guys know, for Little Things, we always start out each episode, almost always, talking about the weather. it's just alluding back to a joke when we had, I had Jonas Dupuy on like a while back, and we were like post like recording. We're like, okay, so how do you feel about that episode, Jonas? He's like, that's fine. We spent about 20 minutes talking about the weather, but... But anyway,
it's such a common topic in bonsai. It's always important. You always have to know. I've never known the weather more than when I've been in bonsai.
I've become familiar with him, the weather himself. But anyway, we are going to be talking about this week. We have quite a few topics to kind of go through. We are on episode 91. So we are in a countdown to episode 100. And we have a couple of exciting things to talk about. So the first thing we'll be talking about is the Little Things Education Fund. I know this is something we've alluded to in the past, but me and Carmen have a plan, and it's going to iron out, and someone will be awarded the very first Little Things for Bonsai People Education Fund to go learn bonsai locally. So yeah, we'll be talking about that. And then I have exciting announcements for Say Bonsai 2025. We got our lineup. We have all of our guest artists ironed out who we're going to have for that event. And then personal bonsai goals is going to be our primary bonsai topic. So since we're on the countdown to the big 100, let's go back and think about, you know, why we're doing this and set some like standards and some thoughts about bonsai just in general, like how we feel about bonsai, what's the future of our bonsai practice look like? Just for the listeners, like brain food, some food for thought, you could say. But before we get into those topics, I want to mention that our podcast is sponsored by our patrons over at patreon.com/littlethingsforbonsaipeople. Head on over there, become a bonsai best bud, and hang out in the Discord with these amazing people. And for our patrons, we do our weekly shout out at the end of episodes now. So if you want to hear your name at the $5 level, we say it at the end of the episode, but we always have a featured bonsai bud, and that featured bonsai best bud this week, we want to really appreciate you, is going to be Backyard Bonsai Australia. I know, he's a longtime patron, name's Jay. But we've had, Jay in our Discord. He's been a patron of ours. He also is managing the Unryuin Bonsai Garden in Australia. Awesome guy, full of information. He's very active in our Discord. I want to shout out to Jay. Thank you so much for
being
a patron as long as you have. I feel like you've been here since the beginning. Thank you so much.
My nephew who lives in Australia, his name is also Jay.
Oh, Great. coincidence, maybe. Maybe. But anyway, our main show sponsor, John over at Joshua Tools, holding up for the little things over here, helping us out, keeping us active, giving us things to do as far as like when we go to conventions, plenty of giveaways through Joshua Roth Tools and our collaborative shirt. If you guys like heavy metal, you can go check out Little Things for Bonesai People merch on Underhill Bonesai Store under the tab. And we have the I Like Heavy Metal shirt, long sleeve shirt that looks like a heavy metal concert shirt. It's pretty awesome. So thank you, John, for collaborating with the Little Things and sponsoring our show. And of course, we have our specimen best buds. I almost forgot them. Unride UN, because I said it a second ago with Jay. And then Bill Butler holding down, anchoring our bonsai buds. And then, of course, can't go without mentioning Matt O'Donnell. Makes us sound smart, cleans up our audio, makes us enjoyable to listen to. Go over to mattodonnell.com and contact him about starting your own podcast show or audio engineering project. He is a set bassist living in Nashville, Tennessee. He's an all-around awesome guy. I say it every single time. Go check out Matt O'Donnell Wants to Know as well, his own podcast show. So, like we were talking about just a second ago, it does line up that we mentioned the Education Fund and our patrons, because one of our requirements, so we were talking about this earlier, Carmen, one of our requirements mm-hmm. is that... Oh. I was kind of handing it off to you.
That means Evan wants me to tell you all one of the requirements is.
What we're thinking.
So for our education fund, we do require that those applying for it are patrons of ours. So any of the paying levels, you are eligible to apply for that fund. So $1, $5, more than $5. And you're... Yep, you're welcome. So you guys have been giving to us. We want to give something back to you to say thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't seem like much, but in bonsai money goes a long ways, because bonsai is expensive sometimes. But the fund, here's how it works: is you guys shoot over I need a short form essay. I know we're going back to it sounds like a scholarship for college.
500 words about.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, really, though.
It doesn't have to be 500.
But we need something where you tell us, why did you get into bonsai? How long have you been doing bonsai? Like, what do you love about it? And this episode is also kind of a springboard for the bonsai goals that we're going to be talking about later. It's a springboard to help you think about why you're doing bonsai and why you want to pursue more education in it. And tell us who your local professionals, your local bonsai nursery, your location, as far as is there any cultural impact on bonsai in your area that's important to you? Are you looking to work at a garden or a museum or with a curator? What is your goal? Let us know. And then we will set you up. We will contact your local professional or wherever you're looking to seek guidance at, and we will correspond with them to cover a good chunk of classes, up to $200 in classes or mentorship of some kind with them to help you build that bonsai experience that you need to advance your practice, basically.
Mm-hmm. So. And this is something new for us. So we're starting here at this level with $200 towards our education fund, but if this is something y'all like, if this is something that goes over well, there's more opportunities in the future for more of this and possibly higher dollar amounts.
The little things, we've been going at this for almost 2 years.
Has it been that long? My goodness.
Yeah, we made a Christmas episode. I remember that.
Oh, you're right.
And mm-hmm. So we're approaching another fall season.
Oh, gosh, we are approaching the holidays. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
The year is flying by really fast. At least for me. And I know for your big change too, Carmen, it's going pretty mm-hmm. quick. And we're looking at this and we're counting down to episode 100 and we're making a big deal out of it, but... it's kind of silly because you think about, it will feel silly when you think about, like, I listen to a couple of other podcast shows, and they've broken, like, episode, like, 400, 500.
Yeah.
And it's like, but this is a big deal for a Boneside podcast.
It's a big
podcast.
Deal. No. Yeah. And you know what? We'll celebrate every 100.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 100's day. 100, 200, 300, 400. What if we hit 1,000? Can you imagine that many hours of us talking?
That puts a burden on my mind. It's like 1,000 episodes of me and Carmen and occasionally Mike. Mm-hmm. We love you, Mike. Talking about bonsai related things. It's a lot of work.
We're 1/10 of the way there.
Yeah.
Wait, 1/10 or 1/100? What's math? Oh, we're only 1/100. 10 times 100 is 1,000. So.
Carmen's
cut
degree
this part
is
out. I don't do math.
No, leave it because Carmen's degree is in horticulture, not mathematics. But yeah, anyway, we are a chunk of the way there. So help us celebrate 100 on our way to 1,000.
Yeah, we're 1/10 of the way there. That's 1/10 of the way. Okay. I was like, yeah, we're episode 10. That's 100. Yeah, whatever.
We're talking about like ones and zeros right now. You just drop zeros.
Okay.
But anyway, help us celebrate 100 by us helping you further your education. I know we're an educational style podcast, but hands-on, like working with a local professional or at a local bonsai nursery or wherever you might find education for this, we would love to help you guys get a leg up on it. So like I said, it's very simple. Become a patron. You could be a $1 patron. You could be a $5 patron. We could be one of our specimen best buds. I know the numbers for specimen best buds might not make sense there, but you know, the minimum is the bonsai friend. And then all you have to do after that is make sure that you are you're subscribed to us, of course. You tell your friends about us, and then go over to your email and go, and it's Evan, EVAN at Underhill Bonsai, just Underhill outspelled. Bonsai, no spaces there, of course, no underscores, nothing's crazy. Evan at underhillbonsai.com. Email me your story, your like an essay about how you got into bonsai, how you feel about it, what you want to do with it, what are your goals in bonsai, and is there an ultimate future? Like, where are you going with this? It doesn't have to be like, I'm going to work at the National Arboretum. We don't have to do any of that kind of stuff as far as North American bonsai stuff. It could be as simple as I want to be able to build my dream bonsai garden and have it look this certain way. You know, everybody's different goals. So
it can be, I'm just starting out and I don't have the right tools yet.
There
so
you go.
Like, you know, help me get there.
Yeah.
Wanting to start off on the right foot. So we're open to all levels of people in bonsai, very beginners to those who've been doing this for a while. I'm excited to read your stories.
Yep. And don't worry, we're not gonna read your story on air. We're not gonna
Or will we? No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that.
Yeah, that's shit.
Unless you want us to.
Yeah, unless you're like completely transparent with it, you're like, I don't care. It won't be any shame to me, but unless you say otherwise, we're not going to like say anything out of the ordinary about you without your permission. It's just we'll announce your name, episode 100, and then we'll organize with your local professional. I know we have listeners outside the country. I will do my best to coordinate with your local professionals and figure out what I need to do to make the magic happen for you. So don't worry about that limitation either. After talking to, you know, some of the guests that I have had on the show, and we have contacts with, you know, we're in the bonsai world. We have contacts with a lot of the bonsai people, you know, so we can figure some stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So don't worry about that. Really happy to announce that. I've been waiting to kind of find a good time to bring that up and give us a buildup to it. And you know, episode 91 out of approaching 100, I think is a great time. Give you guys 10 weeks to hear this, get current with it, and then by 100, we'll have it. And also, we're going to do something else for 100 that we were talking about earlier before recording, but when we get there, it'll be announced the week of, so. Anyway.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep. A couple of exciting things, and yes, the pizza party's happening, so don't worry.
Yay.
But anyway, but yeah, and like I mentioned a second ago a moment ago in the opening, we have some Save Bonsai 2025. Yeah, just making sure I didn't say too many 20s there. 2025. Yeah, 2020. It's like
2025.
Yeah, sorry. But no, 2025. We have a lineup announcement, and also we are starting. We have already gotten some submissions for trees to be displayed. That's really exciting. Yes,
that's so cool.
So that's really exciting. I love the enthusiasm. Please, just for like right off of that. Going off of that is that the show is going to be in Folsom, Louisiana. If y'all heard previous episodes, we've talked about this already. But Folsom, Louisiana, March 28th to the 30th. It's going to be a 3-day show. We're going to have a full schedule. This went from a 1-day thing last year. This past year we had Mike Lane and Guy Guidry, and we did as much as we could in that 1 day, and we had crawfish and we had gumbo and we sold out and yada yada. Y'all heard the story if y'all listened to the wrap-up episode. This time around, we've gone full on convention mode. So we've got for our main lineup, we're going to be doing the Little Things for Bonsai People live recording. So we're going to have me, Mike, and Carmen
all that's going to be same, so fun
in the same place physically. It's going to be really fun. And then we're going to do a live recording for that. And there will be a demo with us three working on a tree. It's going to be a lot of fun.
A bald cypress?
No. possibly? I don't know yet. But I've also got my my eyes on some potential demo material. I mentioned this to you earlier, Carmen. That could be very exciting to bring something new to the table. So lots of really cool stuff with that. I don't want to announce the demo stuff until I have pictures and have it on hand to be delivered. But we'll be posting, if you go to Underhill's Facebook page, I'm going to be posting basically profiles of our people who are presenting, very much how like the Pacific Bonsai Expo is doing it right now. But we're not going to be doing the whole thing. I'm just going to be telling people what's going on. And then when we get our demo and workshop material, we'll be sharing images of that as well. So I know I'm alluding to it. I'm kind of building it up. This is the anticipation. This is how you keep them on the edge of their seat.
Yes, I'm anticipating.
Yeah, keep anticipating because I'm getting
very
there.
Exciting.
But yeah, Little Things will be there. That's going to be fun. So, and then our headliners, our main guest artists that we're going to have from out of town, besides the Little Things is just something we're tacking on for fun.
We're just the Little Things.
We're just there. We're just going to make a little bit of an impact on the show. We're going to have Julian Tsai from California. So I have him locked in for the dates. And for now, unless something happens, we have Julian Tsai as our main headliner. Or first, and then second headliner is going to be Sylvia Smith from Dallas, Texas.
Yay.
So yeah, two really exciting bonsai artists. One, Julian being trained and mentored by Peter T, and Peter T also coming from the same vein of being trained by Boone. I don't want to butcher Boone's last name. Do you know it?
I would have to look at it.
It starts with an M.
We just call him Boone for now.
Yeah. A lot of people are familiar with Boone. Boone's a very well-known traveling bonsai artist in North America. He's been on the circuit for years now, but he's also taught and helped. He's been the springboard of a lot of great bonsai artists, such as Michael Hagedorn, Jonas Dupuy, Sylvia Smith, Peter T., and a couple of other people I'm sure are out there that I'm not aware of, because a lot of people started from him. And also Sylvia's husband, Howard, as well.
Oh, sweet. It's funny. The first bonsai convention I ever went to, the first like seminar I was at was a Boone seminar. So like, you know, I didn't actually, you know, study with Boone, but my very first bonsai thing ever was with Boone, which is kind of funny too.
Yeah. Boone's out there. I've seen him at several conventions. When I do the Texas conventions, he's always there. So he's definitely got a time and investment in the bonsai world. And so it's kind of like that generational bonsai mentorship kind of thing. So yeah, boon to Peter T, which Peter T is an amazing bonsai artist in California as well. If you guys haven't heard of him and been living under a Suiseki, you should go over to Bonsai Empire and type in Peter T Bonsai Empire Bonsai Garden Tour. Blow your mind away. Like,
oh, I haven't seen his garden. I'll have to go look at that.
Yeah, he's got a great garden. And then, yeah, Julian is one of his former students. And Julian's been, you can go over to his Instagram and look at his images that he's been sharing on his Instagram, Julian Sai. It's going to be T-S-A-I, kind of like the end of bonsai. It's really interesting. So yeah, look him up on Instagram and look at his stuff. Also really great work there. Julian's starting to hit the road now. I heard that he's going to be actually in Dallas really soon. He's going to meet Sylvia. Sylvia Smith is a bonsai artist, woman bonsai artist from Dallas, that has been practicing bonsai for over 30 years now.
Sweet.
And she's got a lot of knowledge in the bonsai world. And she's run her own nursery. She's worked with clientele in her local area and has even worked with the likes of like Bjorn, as far as collaborations and helping out with his clientele. And so she has been, she's been in full on life mode, though. She told me from talking with her about it, she had raised her three children, and now her and her husband feel like it's time to start giving back to the bonsai world. So she is hitting basically the road, as our show is her first show hitting the road outside of the state. So,
well, that's so exciting.
Yep. So it's going to be really awesome to see Sylvia come out and do her thing. So if you guys are into either of their work or know them personally, this is going to be a great outing. And then we have our supporting, I guess you could say supporting acts, but supporting bonsai artists that will be offering workshops and doing some presentations as well. We will have Guy Guidry will be back. So that's going to be awesome. Everybody loves Guy. Guy doesn't really travel anymore. So I've been telling people, if you want to see Guy, but say bonsai is kind of it. That's where he's the only place he likes to kind of do things for now. So if you want to take a workshop or see a demo from him, come to Save Bonsai 2025. We're also going to have Randy Bennett. He's basically another one of our bonsai experts from New Orleans area here. He's really well-versed in, wouldn't you know it, bald cypress. Randy Bennett has been traveling and teaching recently as well, similar to how Sylvia Smith has been hitting the road. So Randy's already been out. He's done some workshops. He's done some Bonsai Society meetings and has done a lot of bald cypress work. He's spreading the word of basically the legacy of Von Banting. It's a really great guy. If y'all haven't met Randy, you'll know it when you see him. He's got a great aura. He's an extremely knowledgeable person. And then another one of our people that will be helping us and doing demos and workshops will be Dawn Ketting. So another amazing bonsai artist from the New Orleans area. She's been doing bonsai for over 25 years, and she has also recently been going out and teaching a few classes here and there, but she's had heavy involvement in the New Orleans, the Greater New Orleans Bonsai Society. She's been teaching classes and maintaining her own awesome bonsai collection that she has. I think she's been to nationals. She submitted a tree to nationals consecutively and has gotten in, I think, for the past 7, maybe 8 years now.
Oh, wow.
And it nationals every other year. So she's been every time since almost since the beginning, I think. So
that's
nationals
awesome.
I think on 9. So I think she's been all of them, but first one. So maybe it was 7. But yeah, she's got great trees, always shows at local conventions, like especially the Texas convention. She's won best native in Texas with a bald cypress. God dang, bald cypress nice. Is like just doing work over here. She won best Texas native with a bald cypress from Louisiana.
So oh, sweet.
So it tells you something. But yeah.
No comment. Stayed
no
out
comments.
Of that one.
Yeah.
I got to meet Dawn at Nationals last year, and I'd heard a lot about her from Evan, and her trees are gorgeous, and she's super fun. So I'm excited to get to hang out with her again. It's going to be great.
Yeah. This show is going to have a lot of, you know, small town vibes, but like some big name acts coming through to come through and really make a great show for you guys. So
do you have a limit on how many trees can enter the show?
I currently do not. So okay. I know that like I said, we have a couple of people that have submitted trees. Uh-huh. And last time we had, it doesn't seem like a lot, but for a 1 day show, we had over 30. Like we were just shy.
Oh, yeah.
Like 31, 32, if you
count.
Okay,
that's pretty good.
You count the custom, not the custom, no, if you count the show hen, there was mm-hmm. close to 40. But I don't really have a limit this time. We usually rent a tent, and we're going to be at Underhill Nursery, Underhill Bonsai Nursery. And I mean, we've got a 10-acre plot, and the tent that we rent is like 100 feet by 50 feet. It's huge. So mm-hmm. we got plenty of space. So
nice.
If we can keep organized, I mean, I could take it upwards of, you know, maybe 100, maybe 150 trees. Just bring them on. I mean, mm-hmm. I know it's a travel for some people, but I mean, like I've mentioned in the past, like I've traveled 20 hours one way to go to Nationals. This show isn't as high as stakes for, like, you know, like I know it's not the national show, but this is a little bit more of a fun lax show, but there's still awards to be given. So mm-hmm. you guys are submitting awards. I actually have a new awards lineup too.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I know this feels like
this is just a giant promo.
It is a giant but look, this is my
show. It's interesting. It's your show. It's what you do. And yeah. you know, it's important for people to know what they're getting themselves into. So
yeah. So awards this year for the Bonsai Show will be, of course, Best in Show. Sponsored by all these sponsored awards will be Joshua Roth. So so we're doing Best in Show. So just overall, you know, outstanding mm-hmm. tree. And they will be judged. So just know that me, Mike, and Carmen, Julian, and Sylvia will all have a say in these awards. So all of our professionals will be looking over the trees. So
go back and listen to all our episodes about what we look for. Yep. And do that.
Yeah. Get our personalities, you know, maybe buy us our favorite candy and
set it next
to your tree. But just Best in Show is it's a thing, you know, like
mm-hmm.
polished tree, you know, like, you know, everything's in the right spot. The pot's cleaned up, the stand and the pot and the tree all make sense together. And that's the minimum for my show too, is for Say Bonsai, is that the tree's got to be in a pot, the pot's going to be on a stand, the tree's got to be mossed. Other than that, you can choose your 2-point display, 3-point display, however you want to present it. Creative displays are encouraged. So, you know, tasteful yet creative displays are encouraged. So Best in Show, People's Choice Award, which is, of course, you know, we pull from the crowd, they vote for their favorite tree, and you're presented a kind of more of a anonymous award for that. And then we're going to have Best Classical, which is going to be based off of classical bonsai Japanese aesthetic. So we go through Best in Show is Best Polished Tree. Best Classical is going to be looking for like that true feeling of Japanese bonsai. Yeah, sounds fair. and then our other award that is brand new to our show is going to be Best Show Hen.
Nice.
Don't think it's fair that show hen trees don't get recognized more often. Show hen can be in displays as far as like a 5-tree or 7-tree display, or it could be an accompaniment to a larger bonsai. We will be taking each of those show hen and judging them individually, considering them for Best Show Hen Award. So if your show hen is in the show in some shape or form, it will be eligible for that award. And then my favorite award of all time that will be unique. By the way, all these awards will be presented as crawfish paddles. So the paddles that we use to stir the crawfish for a boil. They are gold. Yeah, we did this last year and the year before. They are like the gold, like plated, like it says like what it is. So it's like mm-hmm. it says like Best in Show on it or whatever, kind of style on a crawfish paddle.
That's hilarious. I love it.
And then, but this award is unique, one of a kind. There's not going to be a crawfish paddle. It's going to be a different type of award for, I know this is very tongue in cheek, Best Bald Cypress. Just, I know it sounds really silly, and we talk about this all the time, but we're Louisiana. We're at a crawfish boil. It's our state tree. It's our American, like, it's our American folklore, folk art classic. So I want to see the best, shiniest bald cypress. It could be from Louisiana. It could be from Texas. It could be from, I don't know, who's going to drive from Michigan, New York, Tennessee, North Carolina. I want to see wherever bald cypress grow. I want to see a good bald cypress. That's how we're going to start the award. It's like, right, show me your best one. You know, show me what you got.
I like it.
Yeah. So just something fun there. But yeah, shoot me an email. Just like for the scholarship thing, shoot me an email with your tree that you want to submit for the show. We are currently working on a application whole thing where we're going to send you like paperwork. So like, fill out this paperwork here to know the age of your tree, years in training, species, history on the tree, potter, stand maker, etc. And then we're going to have the itinerary really soon. And this might sound a little unbelievable, but the entry fee for, say, bonsai is $25 to get in the tent. That's it.
Nice.
Most other bonsai shows I know out there can, I don't know, I don't, I'm not going to, I'm not throwing any shade or anything, but some of them can be a little pricey. So $25 gets you in the show. Bring a tree to our show. Even better, don't have to pay for it. Just bring the tree. Come eat crawfish. Come hang out at the nursery. It's all going to be a great time. So any questions, Carmen? I don't think so.
No.
I think
all sounds good.
Yeah. So I'll be looking forward to that.
Will you I have a question now. Will you have this all outlined on the website at some point?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, okay.
I figured.
So at the time of this recording, this episode will be past whenever we're talking about getting the itinerary. So that stuff will hopefully, like, we're having a sit down meeting next week, and we're going to line everybody up. Itinerary is going to be there. The sign up for the weekend pass thing will be there. And then the workshops will be organized. So each person that I just mentioned, me, Mike, Carmen, Guy, Randy, Dawn, Julian, Sylvia, will all have workshops that can be all taken individually, or if you want to sign up for all of them, because that was one of our requests last time we did it, was I want more workshops. So boom, give them what you want. Give them what they want. So
this podcast is supported by Bonsai Bar, the beginner bonsai workshop popping up in breweries all across the Northeast. Bonsai Bar is 2 hours of tiny tree goodness disguised as a night out with friends. Come grab drinks, create a new tree, and watch as your friends and family get the bug for bonsai. Bonsai Bar is always looking for teachers and assistants, and you listen to this podcast, so you're probably already qualified. Bring your knowledge out to the bar. Apply today. Find event tickets, contact info, and more at bonsaibar.com.
Let's move on to our main topic, if you're ready for it.
Yes, I'm ready.
So, bonsai goals. So, like I said, let's go back to square one. We're approaching our landmark episode. So I have some notes here that I have to make sure that I hit. So bonsai goals, what do you feel like that means to you, Carmen? I just want to get your take on it before I start kind of introducing the thoughts.
I mean, I've had a number of them that have changed over time as I've changed and learned more. And I think that, you know, that's a kind of a good way to go about it, because the more you learn, the more you experience, the more trees you have, the more trees you work on, the things you want to do are going to change as your ideas change. So do you want me to talk about my goals, or do you want to go into some other stuff first?
Because I did an episode a little while back talking about the intention of little things of the show, mm-hmm. going through and saying like my background and what the goals were initially and now where we are now. Mm-hmm. And that was a reflection on that. And I can kind of allude and touch on that a little bit, but let's hear your take on it. So I know we're not going to do like a wrap up on your apprenticeship just yet, mm-hmm. until later, but there are some goals that I'm sure have changed since just the beginning of Bonsai.
Yeah, I think in real time.
she's cataloging back in her brain right now. It takes a moment.
So I think when I started my apprenticeship, I kind of had this goal to what I wanted to do was really focus on women in bonsai, and I still do, but I had wanted to start creating trees that were like what people might consider hyper feminine. And I've since moved away from that. It's not that I don't want to do that. It's just not where my, I still would like to do some of that, but it's just not where my like ultimate goals lie at this point. And I don't know if I have overall one goal. There's just a lot of things that I want to do. And I think right now, such a really big transitional time moving away from my apprenticeship and back to my other job as a curator. I think right now my focus is really on making that collection the best it can be. And there are going to be some things that we're doing within the collection and the university as far as, you know, how can we educate people and reach out to people? How can we connect with students? And I've always had an interest in that. I think, you know, my position at the university is really unique because there aren't very many public bonsai gardens connected to academia. So I feel like there's a lot of opportunities here to connect in really different ways. So I'm really trying to focus in on that right now. And then personally, outside of that work, you know, I'd like to do, you know, we're in a rental right now, but eventually when we, you know, buy a house and get some land, I'd like to have a small collection of my own. But I think right now I'm just kind of focusing in on, you know, public garden bonsai. How do we make these collections the best they can be to pull more people in?
It's interesting to, I don't know if a lot of listeners are aware of that or caught on to that, is that when Carmen mentions she would like to have her own collection, but she manages these like curates these big actual collections of bonsai for her career. It's an interesting take on that you want to have your own bonsai garden one day, you know, and I'm over here with a bonsai garden that I'm finally proud to have. And I think that's kind of like one of the goal things that I was going to bring up on today's episode is like, where do you want to end up with it? And I mean, you've gone through Michael's whole thing where, I mean, you went from working with the trees at the university, having a few trees of your own, but now that you've been exposed to this high end level of like Michael's trees are always pristine. So your bar is set so high now. So
I have a very high bar.
And that's what happens. You know, that also happened to me whenever I went to go visit with you guys up there. And I was doing those handful of weeks with Michael. Mm-hmm. And I see those trees and I'm like, all right, it's time to pick up the pace. Because, you know, working in that level it doesn't just come overnight. And so you got to be a lot more particular now. Like when you, like, for instance, like for you, Carmen, when you go to select your future trees that you're going to work with, you're going to be very particular about, I want this type of tree to give myself this type of work I think it would be more of like a skill acquisition for trees. Like you're like, this tree will give me this skill to continue, right?
Yeah, I think, well, one of the really interesting things about my career working in other people's collections is that I don't really have, I mean, I have my own trees, but none of them are at a point where I can show them. They're all in development, works in progress, because I spend so much time maintaining other people's trees that I just want to have fun little projects on the side. slash I don't have the time to meticulously work through my own trees. So, you know, people always ask me, like, for Pacific Expo, like, do you have a tree going in? No, I don't own any trees that could go in that show, but I'm going to have worked on every tree that, you know, Michael and his clients are submitting into that show. Will have, you know, so my hands will have been on a number of these trees. At Nationals, I have not put one of my own trees in, but I have worked on many of the trees that, you know, the Botanical Gardens has put into that show. So, like, it's
not so much of an ownership thing at that point. It's more of a...
Yeah, and like, but I would at some point like to have something that I created on display, because as much as I love the technical aspect of caring for other people's trees, there's a level of creativity that I don't get to do in that, you know, I don't get that creation. And there's some quirky stuff I want to play with just for fun that you might never see in a show, or, you know, might never see a professional do because it's just silly. But, you know, there's like just some kind of creative boundaries that I want to push outside of all of this work I do in collections. So I don't want to have so many trees that I can't go on vacation or, you know, that kind of thing. But, well, you know, I'll have to have somebody come water. But yeah, it's if you have one good tree, you have to have somebody come water it. So,
yeah.
But I don't want 100 trees, but I, you know, I might want 5 or 10 or 20 of my own.
5 or 10 or 20
Tree or 500. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh,
but
don't,
I
want to
have, no, I want to have something of my own
of note,
creation,
yeah.
You know, something that I did everything from selecting the tree to all of the work to choosing the pot to create it, you know, all this stuff that I just haven't actually done before. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that feels like to me, it's like such a wholesome take on it. It's like,
so silly because I've been doing bonsai professionally for years. You know, like this has been my whole career. And I don't, yeah. And I haven't ever, like, done this myself. Like, I want to have, like, my own tree and put it in a show.
I just want something nice. It's like,
I just want something that's mine.
No, like in, and that's like the other perspective for me is like, I got into this having a bunch of plants in the backyard constantly, mm-hmm. and kind of like pecking away at it for years and being like, I'm doing bonsai, and then turn the corner and learn something new and then say, now I'm doing bonsai, and then mm-hmm. like work with somebody new, meet, like the time I met Guy mm-hmm. at his nursery, and then I was like, oh, now I'm doing, and it's like every couple of years I'm like, this is it, I'm doing it now.
I'm doing it, and yeah. I know I still feel the same way. I'm like, now I'm doing bonsai, but now that I'm ending this apprenticeship and going on to like my back to like a real job, it's like I feel like I should be at this point of like, now I'm doing bonsai, and I'm like, oh, I still have so much more to learn, like,
yeah.
You know, it's just the more you do it, the more you just want to get better at it.
Yeah. And so that's kind of like, and I don't want to rush to the end of the kind of like the big reveal or the conclusion of the point of this episode, but mm-hmm. Carmen kind of got close to, that's like a little bit of foreshadowing there, what it's
ooh.
About is like always learning and kind of seeing what, you know, what's possible. But yeah, I don't want to get too far ahead of that because that was kind of, that's kind of the sweet ending to it. Because
well,
it really
hear,
isn't. Yeah.
I want to hear more about your goals.
Yeah.
How have they changed and what are you looking
so,
to do now?
So the goals, this is kind of the thing I like I said, I was kind of, I'm referring back to the episode that I did. I can't remember when it was, but it was talking about how my initial goal whenever I was doing bonsai in my backyard, and I love being able to share everything that I do with you guys now. I never thought that, you know, in my lifetime would I, you know, have a bonsai podcast, work at a bonsai nursery, have shown trees at various shows, and even picked up an award recently. And, you know, mm-hmm. like, I didn't think any of those things were possible within the scope of, like, doing bonsai as a regular, you know, I was a tradesman. I was doing AC work before this. And bonsai feels so elusive and so expensive and has a price tag on it that was not, that didn't seem obtainable. And I'm a, and if you guys have met me in person, you know that I'm like, I'm a Louisiana boy through and through. Like, I don't sound very twangy. I'm not like, you know, going out and hunting or going fishing, like, you know, Louisiana paradise, like hunter, like sportsman's paradise thing. But I am very like homegrown in my beliefs. So like, whenever I started doing bonsai, I really wanted to pursue it, but I wasn't aware that one day I would be doing it like this, where it's like, it comes from a personal experience and personal growth type thing for me, where, like you were saying a second ago, Carmen, it's like, I want to get a tree. I want to make the tree. I want to choose the pot and I want to present it. This is my work from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And so when I was starting out, my goal was initially was like to have trees that I felt that certain way about. Like I felt mm-hmm. like, yes, and collecting trees is huge. Like that's a huge thing that happens across the entirety of bonsai in the bonsai culture. As far as you live in the Rocky Mountains, you want a Rocky Mountain juniper or a ponderosa pine. You live in the American South, you want to collect a bald cypress or a American hornbeam or a elm tree of some kind. And that was kind of like where I was at. I was like, I want to collect trees. And then I was initially inspired by like Walter Paul and Harry Harrington and Mario Heidick and all those people that were collecting trees and then getting that rugged look. And that was mm-hmm. initially my goal, was to keep the ruggedness in my trees, but be cool about it and have like a nice thing where people go in the backyard and they're like, wow, this tree is old and twisted. Where did you get it from? But that wasn't really what would happen in the beginning. People would look at these plants and go, what's going on back here? You really like plants or something, man? I'm like, oh, this is my bonsai collection. But they just didn't look like trees, mm-hmm. you know? So that was the beginnings of it, was just wanting to have something that when I looked up to the people, they were basically my idols at the time. Like some people look up to like musician idols or actor idols. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here looking up to like bonsai idols in a way. And I was like, I want to have trees like X over here. Mm-hmm. And so after like working with local bonsai clubs, meeting people, seeing like realistic like expectations of raising bonsai and growing bonsai and working with it and not really having an outlet, because Guy Guidry's nursery was the only nursery that I could go to and see stuff in person that was believable to me. And mm-hmm. And he really set the bar higher for me, because he showed me what big trees look like. And that's always been his thing. He's like, see that tree in that picture? That's a big tree. And then he's like, this is a big tree here. I could see it. Like it was feasible. And he told me, like, you just go do this. You go get the tree out the swamps or out the woods. And if you want to make that tree, he's like, I'll tell you how to do it. But he's like, first, and this is what threw me, because you see, like, if anybody's met Guy, it's kind of like the same kind of Louisiana kind of thing. It's like he's like got like this don't give a shit attitude kind of thing. But he's doing good work. Is like, he's like, first you have to learn how to make a Japanese classical tree. And that was another thing that threw me. I was like, oh shit. I don't, at that time I was like, I don't care about Japanese aesthetics. I want to mm-hmm. make cool, like naturalistic trees. Like I was too cool for that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my goals changed again from that point. I was like, okay, well maybe he means something by that. Cause for a couple of years I was just like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Just trying to be whatever about it. And then as time went on and it feels like a one in a million chance where it was like, met Doug, he needed somebody to run his nursery and I stepped in. And then I found out you have to do Japanese aesthetic to sell a lot of trees and make a living in this career. Mm-hmm. And also it's the basis that everything's built off of.
Right.
And I was like, okay. And then flipped a switch there. My goals changed again. And then I pursued higher education in learning how to work bonsai. I've worked with a lot of other professionals. Like I said, went to Michael, worked with Randy, worked with Dawn, my local people with a lot of experience, 20, 30 years in experience. And that's got to amount to something. At that mm-hmm. time, I just didn't think about it, you know, until that point. And now I've come around to it. And my goal was to have nice trees that I could look back on and be like, these are cool trees. I'm at that point now And then I was like, do I want to show these trees or teach? And I was like, I'm going to do both. And so I started doing both. And then I got to this point. Now it's like, what are my goals beyond this? And so, yeah, it's changed a lot, but I want Underhill now. Initially, me and you, Carmen, have talked about stuff with Underhill in the past. I had a lot of experience when you first met me about that, about takes on how to do bonsai. And I still had that. I still had that, like, that sense to be like too punk about it, to be like, you know, against the grain of it. And it took some growing up, you know, to kind of think about it and think about the business side and the what is bonsai long term for me. And I can't do bonsai long term if I don't take, I was about to say it, the little things serious. both in the teaching, the showing, and making sure that I represent my bonsai practice properly moving forward, you know, and being professional now. It's kind of a goal, is to start building that collection that will become my, you know, my, hopefully my legacy collection, of where it's like, oh, these trees are, you know, come from Evan. And I, you know, I'm finally getting to that point where I'm feeling like I'm just now starting to make those trees. And my goal is to have trees that will, to create trees and to make those trees that will last that lifetime for me. Yeah. Really what I want, you know?
Yeah.
And to keep on working, like, I want to go to other places and work on bonsai in different collections. That would be really fun. I know that's coming, but you know, but those are always on, that's always on the table, is to put my hands on something new as well. So,
yeah,
but yeah.
So yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of over-explaining, but this is what it is, you know?
Yeah. It would be boring if you were just like, my goal is to do bonsai professionally and have a legacy collection. Like, okay, but why? You know, like, it's the why is the interesting part. And I mean, I can totally relate to where you say you had to kind of grow up a little bit, because I always like, you know, having the thing that's different, or pushing people's buttons or pushing boundaries a little bit. And I have over time definitely kind of, I still love doing that, don't get me wrong, and I still want to push the boundaries in bonsai, but I think I have a greater respect for the tradition and the reasons that people would roll their eyes at me in the beginning. I have a greater respect for that now, and a better understanding of, you know, why you have to know this tradition and know the technique and know the trees first before you can really, you know, get a little bit silly with it. So yeah, there's definitely some growing up to do. And I always love running into somebody who's kind of new in bonsai and has these kind of wild ideas. And I'm like, that's all great, but like, you've got a little, like, give yourself 5 years and see how you feel. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's fun to watch people, their own attitudes kind of change as they learn too. And, you know, it's not to squash the creativity out of people, but it's to help them, I think, understand what they're doing and why they're doing it, as opposed to just, you know, trying to do something different from the start. So
it's looking on the other side of the it's like the perspective from where, like you just said, where I met Guy for the first time, and he's looking at me as the young, eager person who's got all these creative ideas and these takes on it. And as nonchalant and devil may care Guy appeared to me to be, he still gave me that, you got some stuff to learn first before I start showing you the back door of like of the backstage of how this works. And I was like, no, I got this now. But now it's come around where me and Guy see eye to eye on things, and there's that understanding now where I'm like, oh, that's what you meant. And then now me and Guy have conversations about bonsai that makes sense. And I'm not the one on the other side being like, huh, yeah, this is great. And then Guy's like, I'm not feeding you BS. Like, I'm trying to teach you something here, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was the initial beginning of it. But now it's like seeing that eye to eye and having that experience is, that's where things change. And that's where it kind of, yeah, like what we've been talking about as far as like, you start fresh, there's a lot of learning, a lot of growing up to do in it. And like I mentioned way earlier, it's like, what are the expectations and what is realistic to your bonsai practice that will teach you those hard lessons? I mean, because that, when it comes down to it, these are just trees and pots, the literal definition of bonsai. They're just trees and pots that have, there are rules within the Japanese aesthetic. They are there for a reason, to teach us how to be able to play. And that's one way to kind of look at it. So it's like the learn how to run before you, I mean, no, don't learn from, learn before, don't learn how to run first. Learn how to walk so you can run, kind of whole thing.
Right. Crawl before you walk, walk before you run.
Yeah. Because if you start off running, then even the highest budget, the person who's got the money to buy that tree, that they're like, okay, my bonsai goal is to own 10 masterclass bonsai. Buy them all. Don't know anything about maintaining bonsai. Kills them all. That's the dark side of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the dark side of looking at this, being like, I'm ready to full on sprint into this. So, but yeah, so going through some of the things, the kind of like, now that you guys can hear like an honest, open kind of how me and Carmen both have kind of approached this, and now we're on the other side of it. It's kind of, bonsai has spit us out on the other side, and now we're not so cool anymore. We're like bonsai parents again.
Yeah, I know. That's what I feel like. I feel so old talking about how I learned and grew up and have a different perspective now that I actually spent time doing it. And
yeah.
You know what? At episode 200, we should revisit our goals again. We should do this every 100 episodes so we can see how we've changed.
Exactly. We've talked about this in the past. It's like, anyone that's heard earlier episodes of us, listen to our voices change, listen to the way we talk about bonsai and the way we communicate it. And I think it's a good, like, just a good reference point.
Yeah.
So that, because there's not a lot of other people out there that do a whole, I mean, there's a couple of other bonsai podcasts out there that are great that you guys can go check out. And I wanted this one to be, yes, we're starting at that beginner level, but we're always talking about where we're at with it. And I mean, bonsai is impermanent, so it's always going to change. So our opinions and the way our takes are, and our guests that we will have occasionally, will also give us more insight and change things as well. So yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason that was one of my bonsai goals, was for this show to have this premise. So I feel like we're hitting that mark, but it takes time to keep on hitting that mark and seeing where it goes.
So. Hey, you reached another goal too with the education fund. Like, we're doing it. That's really cool. That's really, really cool.
Let's see. Okay, I was just checking recording. That would suck for us to go through this whole thing and not record.
Oh my God.
But yeah, the education fund is a new milestone for us, for me, and for the show. You know, and I have to also, the consideration of, like, I always wanted to collaborate. So the goal has brought into other people's goals. So that's also a really great thing to know. So, like, just like with this show, me, you and Mike, we've hit milestones with this. That's really awesome. Mm-hmm. With Say Bonsai, we're hitting milestones with that as well. So it's just, you know, being able to move all that forward too.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one of our goals early on, or at least something I really wanted to do, is get all of us together and do a little things live, and we're going to do it. Like, I'm so excited. We're doing things.
Yeah.
Look at us go.
Yep. So it's like, you ever heard of the book, The Secret?
No.
I wish you would have known, because it would have been a little bit funnier. The Secret was a book that was like a self-help book that went like super viral back in the day. It was like, everybody was talking about it. It was like, if you can, it's like a manifest strategy where it's like, just imagine yourself driving a Ferrari. Now imagine yourself driving a Ferrari every day, and then it's like, one day you will, and it's like, that's the joke. It's like The Secret, but not really.
But it's not.
I'm sure if there's people who out there who are familiar with that book. If you read it, I'm not dogging you for it. I mean, it's a modern meme now, but back in the day, it was like before that culture of making fun. But anyway, so like as far as your goals, I mean, some of the stuff you can ask yourself is like, it's like I have on my list of questions, and this could also allude to the scholarship thing. If you need some jumping points, like where are you located and what species do best in your area? That could tell you where your goals could start. If your goals seem crazy, but then you're like, you might have to like make some adjustments. Like, for instance, I wanted to grow crab apples. And also, what's the, it was crab apple. And then there was the other species, the black, bark fruiting tree. Was it plums? Japanese.
Ume.
You're not doing
that in Louisiana.
Yeah, that used to be one of my like goals. Like I wanted a really badass ume because I thought those trees were so dramatic, and they were kind of
they were really cool.
They were jagged, and they had they're like so metal. Like it's so cool because it's like it's old and twisted, and then you start to find out that those trees are not even like they are part of the bonsai world, but they're not like a high end bonsai world type thing. They're great, but at the same time, like there's people that are always going to be like junipers and pines and, you know, even like deciduous stuff. The yume are like that's a very free form style of bonsai where it grows, and then you take what part of the plant didn't die back this year and you cut back to it and you display the flowers. That's how you get those jagged random seeming lines of the trunk. And then, yeah, then I found out that also it doesn't grow in Louisiana. So there wasn't even that option to work with them, you know? I switched gears with that. It's like, where am I located? Okay, I guess I'm going to be growing Louisiana natives. But then at the same time, I was like, wait, there's not a lot of people invested in people working with exclusively with their natives in this zone like that. There's like a handful of people doing that, and I could do that. You know, that was kind of like one of the things that came to my mind. And so, yeah, that's, you know, just consider where you're at and what works best for your area. Don't struggle with things that are just going to give you diminishing returns on like, oh, I'm trying to keep this Japanese maple alive and it's boiling outside and it looks crappy in the summer. And you're like, guess I'm just killing these trees and I can't do bonsai. So, yeah, work with that. And then another good point, what style of tree or what styles do you like? I know people who love forest plantings, and that's like the majority of their collections. So they want to just have a bunch of, I mean, I'll be honest, that'd be a nightmare.
They
want
to have a forest of forests?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, that sounds like a nightmare, because you have the main it's on a forest of any size is more than you can imagine. That's why you see a lot more individualized bonsai. But like, what appeals to you? Like, do you live in an area where cascading bonsai is a big deal? So you want like a lot of cascades, and you want to make that like your thing. You know, like with Mike fell in love with creating shohin trees out of his tropicals. And he like pretty much went in on that pretty hardcore and became really good at it. So what style stands out to you, you know? That could help you kind of hone in your goals with it. And then what is your yard space or your dream garden, bonsai garden potentially look like to you? Some people just don't have the space. Some people will have the space in the future. Like this kind of like alludes to like what you were mentioning, Carmen, like you're moving back to Michigan and now you don't have the space just yet. But what does that look like, you know?
Right.
Because you could have the trees, but what does the garden space look like? And I think that's something a lot of people don't think about initially getting to bonsai, especially with some of the people that come to my nursery and they buy a tree. And then the first thing that they're like, okay, what do I do? And I'm like, put it outside. And they're like, I live in an apartment with a balcony. And I'm like, uh-oh. You know, like, so it's...
right.
So you kind of have to know what your potential is for. I mean, whenever I was renting, and every apartment that I went to had to have a backyard because I knew I wouldn't be able to live without doing that. So, and then another question or another thing to know of for your goals would be, what is a local bonsai nursery, establishment, museum, etc.? Like, what is near you that you can possibly go visit? It could be hours away. If the closest one is hours away, that sucks. But if that's something that you could set your goal to go see and visit and get acquainted with those trees, that collection, that nursery, that person, that professional that works with those trees, whoever. Mm-hmm. If the person's really close to where you're at, if they're like 30 minutes down the road, it's kind of like that. Like, what are you doing? Like, go down there and see them. Go hang out with those trees. You know.
And I will throw out there that a lot of public collections, if you're lucky enough to be near those, they're often looking for volunteers and even some professionals or even hobbyists, local club members, you know, are looking for help in their garden. So
yeah,
it never hurts to, you know, chat up people when you're at these places visiting and see if there's an opportunity there for you to come and volunteer your time. And maybe you'll just be weeding pots, but at least if you're weeding pots, you're looking at trees. You know, there's a lot to be said for just spending time amongst these trees and seeing them. The more you see them, the more you learn, you know, what to look for. So
yeah, like you mentioning, like there might be a local bonsai person that has a really big collection that you know of, or a nice collection you know of, and that reminds me of like when I first met Dawn and I saw some of her trees, and I knew that like she was doing things that I wanted to do with bonsai. And I was like, mm-hmm. You know what? What are you doing this weekend, Dawn? And she was like, oh, I'm just working on my trees. And so that relationship sprung from just asking, you know, being like, do you need help? And I will let you know that if someone's maintaining a big collection, like a personal collection, and they're doing it, like Dawn's doing it on her own, and she hires help to come help her work on her trees, you asking like, hey, can I come like hang out with you? You will not believe. Like if someone was like, hey, can I come to your house and work on your trees with you? I would, a resounding yes. Like, mm-hmm. Come work on my trees with me. You know,
especially if they have azaleas and they need to take the flowers off.
Yeah. Well, don't be disappointed. Like you're saying, like, don't be disappointed if you're like assigned to like pick weeds or pluck flower buds.
They're very important jobs, and you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. It'll teach you things. It'll teach you more than you know. Like one of the first things that I did when I went to hang out with Guy, I said, Guy, I want to volunteer at your nursery at the time when he had it. And he was like, okay. And he gave me this big Schaffalera, a big not a ficus, but it's a Schaffalera.
Like an umbrella tree.
Mm-hmm. Umbrella tree is it's common. It was enormous. I mean, this thing is like it's got to be at least 2 feet across, and he still has the tree. I saw it at his house recently, and he gave me that tree at his nursery, like to like sit down. And he's like, okay, I want you to trim this tree back and defoliate it.
Oh my god!
And I was, and of course, like having little to no experience with that type of practice, I was like, okay. And so the time that those couple hours I spent there, just sitting there like gingerly like pruning back, being like, I think I should cut here, and then for him to come back and be like, actually this, and then he trims all the leaves off of it, and it just blew my mind. There's things that you will see and you'll be like, oh, that's what I could get. It's not wasted time, you know. Like for the azaleas, like you said, like go in, pluck all the buds back, set the new buds, and then you were responsible for helping that azalea look great that next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Seriously. And you know what? That teaches you how to be gentle. And if you can get through an azalea, then you can learn to wire, you know?
Yep. Yeah, wiring is a whole other thing. We'll talk about wiring later on. But
yeah.
And then one more, a couple more goals and things to think about for your bonsai practice is, how much time do you have? We talked about time management on like the bonsai parent episode we did a couple episodes back. What is your time management? What is realistic to what you're doing with your life, your job, your career? our careers are bonsai. So mm-hmm. it just so happens that we have all the time to do this. But we got to be realistic and say, what can you carve out to work on your trees? Because some people look at bonsai and go, oh, well, you buy this and it's like, you know, a little tchotchke thing you got from the corner store. And you're like, oh, it just goes on the shelf. But bonsai needs attention. Oh, yeah. It's like, you're like, I'm out here watering these trees like twice a day and trimming every single day of my life. And yeah, so some people that's not apparently clear, right?
Right.
So
yeah, it's a commitment for sure.
Yeah. And talk about numbers. Like I have a hard number on how many trees are allowed to exist at my house and the types of trees that are allowed to exist in my house, because I know how much time I have to run out there and do something with those trees.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a bonsai nursery manager, I go to the nursery. There's like 1,000 trees out there that need my attention right now. And I go home and there's like 40 of them that I really care about and I'm trying to keep at this high level. And you have to, I have to kind of translate that over to people who don't do bonsai regularly. They're fully immersed. Yeah. What time will you have available for it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So, and that brings me to my next one is like, does your bonsai bring you the mindfulness that you were going into this for? Like some people go into bonsai and say, my goal is to find peace. And so I'm going to start working on bonsai. So after all the trials of finding out what species you can work with, seeing what style of trees you're going to want to start developing and working with, seeing what your yard space looks like, what your potential bonsai garden dream garden's going to look like, what local areas, clubs, professionals have you been working with or volunteering your time? How much time in the day do you have to devote to this? You have to ask yourself at the end of the day, does it become worth it to be your pastime, as to be your mindfulness time of your day? You know, and that doesn't sound like a goal, but it is. It's the reason why we do bonsai in the first place is to.
Well.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Do you do it to be mindful? Like, yeah. I'm curious, like, is it a meditation thing for you?
For me, it's to help me center myself and my life. Because like, if mm-hmm. I look at my trees and my trees look good, I've always been kind of interested in the whole thing is like, what if every family, every person had a bonsai tree? And if you looked at their tree, it told you how they're doing in life.
Mm-hmm.
And if their tree's like super messed up and legging grown out or dead, then it's like, oh, they're having a bad time. They don't have time to sit down and calculate and think and appreciate mm-hmm. details. It sounds harsh, but I mean, that's the way my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
But if the collection is like kept up to a certain extent, like right now, for instance, my collection is healthy. Things are green. Things are growing. I've got all my trees are at good points where I have ones where I'm like, I'm going to repot this next year, or I've repotted these trees and I'm doing good with this. I'm not mm-hmm. out there refining my trees to the furthest extent. I'm just happy with where I'm at with them. And that mm-hmm. helps that eases my mind a lot, managing that collection like that. So it does bring a sense of mindfulness to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it might sound weird saying it for you because...
No, I don't think it's weird. I think a lot of people get into it because they want to use it as some kind of meditation or mindfulness.
We usually laugh at that, but you know, it's the other way around.
I mean, I laugh at it just because I don't think it's a silly thing. I think it can be a very mindful, meditative thing when you're in the thick of a project, like, or doing some of the rote activities. It can be very mindful, like weeding your garden is. But I also laugh because sometimes it's the most stressful thing in the entire world, trying to keep an entire garden going and alive and looking good and watered and healthy and pest-free. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not always, I personally did not get into it as a means of mindfulness. But I know a lot of people do. I think for me, it's a form of play, I think, which I guess is some way to be present and mindful of your surroundings and what you're doing and your creativity. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit different for me than I think what some other people are looking for.
Yeah. it's kind of like a weights and scale kind of thing where it's like, this is balanced and this is working out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always like, feels like it's teetering on the edge of mm-hmm. like, of a knife kind of feeling. Like, it's like, well, one day the trees could just go underwater and things could
one
go really
day they
poorly.
Could just die.
Yeah. Or one day I could not have proactively treated for this insect and it's going to wipe out this,
mm-hmm.
The foliage on this tree and set it back. And I'm going to lose X amount of years of work that I've done to mm-hmm. get to this point.
You know,
those things
can
happen.
It has taught me a level of detachment, I guess, which is important, you know, and if you're thinking of meditation and mindfulness, you know, having some level of detachment of trying not to worry too much about like these things you were just talking about going wrong. Sometimes, you know, there's absolutely nothing you can do, like the thing's just going to happen. And so sometimes trying to not be too connected while also being very connected. It's a really interesting kind of paradox, I think. I mean, I guess it has taught me a lot more mindfulness, even though that wasn't my goal necessarily. So,
yeah, it's like I said, it seems like a weird goal to kind of put out there, but
I don't think so. I think it's like yoga or Tai Chi, you know, it's a movement and a process.
You have to get to a point where you enjoy it for what it is. Like for instance, like if I were to wire out a tree, I could wire a tree and then go into, like you said a moment ago, it's like, it's a form of play. So it gives you this mm-hmm. sense of a flow, like full mm-hmm. engagement, and the time will go and I'll wire a tree and I'll do it for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then my back will start hurting. I'm like, oh wait. And I'll look at the time and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I've been involved and that's the mindfulness. And that's the way,
yeah,
you know, and that's the way that my brain works. Some people might mm-hmm. not find enjoyment in doing things like that. But the goal mm-hmm. is to find your place. If bonsai is intriguing to you, find your place within it that gives you that sense.
Yeah.
I
have ADHD. Can you tell? I think one of the reasons I like bonsai is because it involves my brain and my body at the same time. So I can get that kind of full immersion and not get bored. I lose the time too. I'm like, how many episodes of this podcast did I listen to today?
Yeah. And it's just playing in the background, or songs mm-hmm. are playing in the background. You've heard the same song like 5 times, and someone that's working with you, that's not as wrapped
into it. Yeah, and they're like, oh
it.
My God, could we please change what we're listening to? We've listened to this album 4 times. Yeah. That has maybe happened here a couple times.
Yeah. Just on repeat, like you're on a sales floor of like a department store or something. You're mm-hmm. like, why
again?
Maroon 5 again? but no, I don't have to know if anybody listens to Maroon 5 anymore.
I don't know.
I'm just joking. I'm sure there's some diehard fan out there.
If you listen to Maroon 5, let us know.
Yeah. Who's your favorite Maroon 5 member? And I'm sure it's Adam Levine, but mm-hmm. who's your favorite? What's your favorite song? But anyway, but yeah, that draws us back around to the very last one. And we don't have to go very long on this because we're already running a little long on this episode. But what are the long-term goals? Just like we were talking about, what are your goals presently? But then also think about the future.
Yeah.
You know, what did you learn, and what will you anticipate on learning? You don't know that yet. And I know that's kind of like we're asking you to see into the future of that. It's like you don't have a future sight on like, okay, I learned it. Now, what would I think about? Like, because that's one of the things that I think about every once in a while is like, I'll be sitting here thinking about, you know, oh, this is the way I used to think about that. That was silly. I was so stupid thinking that way. But you won't feel that until you get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you're not going to think there's a lot of things that I, but like, wow, that was stupid. You might not think that
I
way.
I have those moments too where I'm like, wow, that was dumb.
Like, oh, wait, maybe.
Oh, like, I used to be so naive.
Yeah. But those moments will be, those moments will come, and you will get those aha moments is what you want. And those are, once you hit that goal, that's something that's something that only time can teach, is basically.
Yeah.
That was the wrap up that I was, that was the conclusion of this this whole episode. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, any last thoughts on Boneside goals?
I mean, I think just, you know, be honest with yourself about what you want to do and don't get stuck on something. If it's not, you know, if you have a goal and it's not working out or you decide you're not interested in it anymore, like, drop it, pick a new goal. There's so many things to do and to learn and to try and to, you know, just to experience within Boneside. You can have a whole bucket list of Boneside goals, or you can, you know, pick one or two to really focus on. And, you know, just don't give up. It takes a lot of time. I mean, I've been apprenticing full time for over 3 years, and there's still things where I'm like, man, I really need to practice this. Like, I really could get better at this. And, you know, it's just one of those things. You just have to keep doing it. So and go for it. I think, yeah.
Yep. Like you said, I mean, I've been doing Underhill Boneside, I've been doing the nursery thing for like coming up on 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, the goals have changed, and mm-hmm. don't try to outpace yourself. I'm going to keep it short and simple and sweet. Just don't mm-hmm. try to outpace yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, Boneside is literally one day at a time. So don't mm-hmm. try to outpace it. Yeah. I mean, we're growing plants for crying out loud. We're literally watching the grass grow. So
yeah. Yeah, go with the flow. Don't try to rush it. Just
yep.
learn as you go. And if you're really bored, get more trees, because
yeah.
Yeah. Don't go trim your juniper again. Just get a new one.
Yeah. 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 Don't overwork your trees. Also rotate your trees.
Oh yeah, I gotta do that.
Yeah.
See, thanks for reminding me.
We all need those reminders. So anyway, now that we're at the end, I'm gonna go ahead and do the patron list shout out, and we're gonna wrap it up for this week, and we'll be counting down. So starting off, we, like I've said recently, the list has changed because I had reordered it. So if your name is out of order, it's not because you were the last picked on the Boneside baseball team. It's just that we had to reorder the names. Starting the list off with Wallace Woods Pottery, Boneside Samurai, Redtron Studio, Kyle Ford, Wesley Thompson, Joseph Dominguez, David Smith, Eddie Fernandez, Dale. Myrick Boneside Pottery, Chantel Wynn, Hist Warrior, Christina Carforia, David J. Boccaccini, Gilbert Hoyes, Sean Seaman, Barry's Boneside, J.M. Stewart Woodworking, Joshua Roth Limited, Nancy Hoffman, Nate Murray, Ben Crean, Victrina Ridgway, Tim Arsenal, Chris Fossoon, Joss Potts, Boneside Marine, A.C. Castle, Louis Torres, Karen Codswell, Austin Adkins, David N. Chase, Taylor Peacock, Greenwich Gardens, Backyard Boneside Australia, Justin Knight, Joel Jenkins, Ryan Gorgando, God dang it.
Giordano,
Snappy Chappers, Joshua Bentley, Ricky Ruins, Boyd Snellgrove, Vicky Auth, Montana Bridgman. And then yay. Our Boneside Buds, Specimen Buds, UN, and Bill Butler of Bill's Bayou. Thank you guys so, so much for sponsoring the show and keeping us alive. If it wasn't for you, all my trees would be gone. No, they're out to get me. They have to believe that there's a backing of patronage to keep my trees. I'm in trouble with the tree IRS. No, that's none of that's happening. But yeah, thank you guys so much for supporting and keeping little things alive. And so we can give you guys things like the scholarship award, and also our live recording coming up at Save Boneside 2025, and then also helping us meet our goals. So
yay.
But yep, so if you guys want to check out more content, you can go over to underhill.com and you can go see some articles that I've written. Go over to underhillbonesaistore.com, go see some of the trees, pottery from some of my favorite potters that we've been picking up recently. There's also Little Things t-shirts on there. You can go pick up some merch. And then also, if you want to check out Underhill's YouTube channel, go to Underhill Bonsai on YouTube. I just released a very short, sweet Bonsai 101 video that, you know, we produced recently to kind of be like that starting point. Pretty proud of it. It looks great. It's straight to the point and gives some really honest information on bonsai. So check that out. We're trying to release stuff monthly on that YouTube channel. From Mike Lane, you can go over to kitsunebonsai.com. Southern Florida guy, bonsai artist. So Mike Lane lives in Fort Myers, Florida, and he teaches bonsai to his local Florian bonsai people, and he also travels. He's been traveling a lot all over the United States to teach the joy of bonsai to the masses. He also offers some online courses. You have to go to his website, Kitsune, like the fox, the Japanese fox of Japanese lore, and go over and check out his offerings. And then for Carmen's stuff, where do they check out your stuff?
You can find me over on Facebook and Instagram at Becoming Bonsai. And be sure to check out the Purple Pot Society, the national women's group focused on educating and getting more women involved in bonsai.
Yep. Awesome. And you don't have to be a woman to support. You can be
correct
any gender to be a
any
supporter.
Any gender. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, thank you guys for tuning in with us this week, and we will be talking to you guys on the next countdown to 100 Little Things.
Oh, that's so exciting. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Y'all have a great week.
Bye-bye.